feel like after praying that we should just sing our closing song and, you know, and call it good, because I can't compete with God. And I can't compete with what's going on in your guys' life and what's happening, because you guys all have your own story to tell. And I know some of you have powerful stories to tell. And sometimes I wish that maybe you were up here doing this and telling your story. It may even be more meaningful than what I have to tell you today, except for today. Today is Pentecost Sunday. And today is the birthday of the church. It's the day that something amazing happened. The birth of the Holy Spirit. The Pentecost Sunday came from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that intercedes on our behalf. The scripture says, with utterances unknown to us. Romans 8:26 says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. How many of you, like myself, have wanted to go to the Lord in prayer, but we just didn't know what to say? Boy, thank goodness for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what guides us and directs us, strengthens us. So the question for us today that we might ask is, what is the church and who is the church on this Pentecost Sunday? I have to tell you, the church is not going to be the church it once was. It cannot be. Because God has given us an opportunity here to kind of take a step back and take a deep breath and to regroup, as it were. To regroup and to be the church better than we were before. A church that cares deeply, more deeply than we ever have, of the people that are closest to us. But we may ask the question, and it's often asked, what is the church? The answer is, I am the church, you are the church, we are the church. It's not the building. I think that's what people see outside. They look up and they say, oh, that's a church. But it's interesting that most of the new churches that they're building now don't look like a church, do they? They look like a school, or they look like some kind of a business. I used to go to a church in Sacramento that was called Warehouse Ministries because it was out of a warehouse. It looked nothing like a church, and we have a beautiful, beautiful building. As my mom would say, it's 97 years old. This beautiful building that definitely looks like a church. But the church is people. It is the community of faith, you and I. And we have to continue to be that place. We need to be those people. And as we move forward as a church, we're going to have to be even better than we were before. Because if we come out of this with the same attitudes and the same thoughts and desires and the same perception, then we're not going to get anywhere. So today, on this Pentecost Sunday, I want to talk to you about who the church is, and then we're going to talk about what we can be. So let's begin by looking at Acts chapter 2. We're going to be actually looking mostly at verses 1 through 14, but there is a little section here that I'm going to be adding on, verses 15 through 21. So just kind of bear with me today. So if you do have your Bibles with you or have access to a Bible, just turn to Acts chapter 2, beginning in the first verse. And we read the first three verses this morning as our call to worship, but we begin by recognizing what the church is. The church is the gathered one. In Greek, gathered means ecclesia, We are the ecclesia. And growing up in the church, I thought that was a great word. I had a pastor in Salem that used to use that word a lot. We are the ecclesia. We are the gathered ones. On that first day of Pentecost, they were gathered in one place. They were gathered in one accord. They heard a sound like a rushing wind. Can you imagine if that happened to us today? Those that were gathered on that day saw a tongue like fire. And it rested upon them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, when we find Jesus and ask Jesus to come into our heart, the same thing happens to us. We are given the Holy Spirit. So for us, the gathered, the ecclesia, we need to be able to live that out. We have been given an amazing gift. We too are gathered together. We too are the gathered people of God. The church is also the flame of God's Holy Spirit in the wind. The scripture says the Holy Spirit came in like a mighty rushing wind and appeared to them like cloven tongues, like fire. Wind actually is referring here to the breath of God. The breath of God on you, on them. Now, you got to remember, these were people that were very new in the faith. This was the first church. This was a group of people that had kind of understood it. They got it, right? They had to be together. They had to be together. The reason why they had to be together is they needed to encourage one another. They needed to spend time together. So they ate meals together. They prayed together. They taught together. They sang together. They hung out together. They were together. And it's really sad that churches today don't have that same desire. We want to meet on Sunday morning and maybe once a week, maybe for a little Bible study that we try to time it so that it fits in with our schedule. But are we really meeting together? Are we really gathering together? Are we really being the people? God breathed like fire. God is called the consuming fire, referring to the complete filling of all power. And we can go back to where God breathed on people in the Bible. God's presence was felt on these people, and their lives were changed. Yes, sometimes they didn't want to do what God asked them to do, but in the end, they did it, and they did it because God breathed on them. The church is also the heavenly language given from above. Tongues like fire, they swept over the disciples. The flames rested on each one of them. So the Holy Spirit's presence was very personal as well as communal among those gathered that day. And that's what happens to us when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. It just doesn't fill up the top here and just lower down. So everybody, every single one of you here today, He has placed His hand and His Spirit on you. The Holy Spirit's presence was felt. The heavenly language was upon them. It spoke a peace, and it speaks to us as well. Peace. It speaks kindness. It speaks love. It speaks of the wonderful works of God. And how often do we come together on Sunday morning and we show that to one another? How we speak peace to one another, kindness, love. We don't grumble about the stuff that's going on in our lives. But we speak about the wonderful power of God and what He's doing in our lives. The church is also the witness. We are the witnesses of God. Now, Peter was the rock, right? Peter was the rock. He was the one that kind of Jesus kind of went to, and he was the one that was supposed to be the strongest of the strong, right, of the group, right? But what happened to Peter on the night Jesus was arrested? He was a coward. He denied knowing Jesus, what, 3 times? And then he ran off. He wasn't bold. He wasn't strong. He was certainly not a rock. But in this moment, Peter is standing before the group of leaders, religious leaders, and he's preaching a sermon. And in that moment, he became bold. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was upon him. And they were sitting there amazed because they looked at this man and they said, this guy's a fisherman. He's uneducated. But then they remembered he spent time with Jesus. So they couldn't deny what he was saying. They said he was drunk. Peter denied that. This was even prophesied by Joel. It says in Acts 2, this is the section I was going to kind of add to it, verse 15 through 21. Part of this I'm going to paraphrase, but it says, these men are not drunk as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God will pour out a spirit. People will preach. The church will have visions. The church will dream dreams. The church will show wonders. And the church wins conversions. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will what? Be saved. And that is because we are the witnesses, the church. It is our job to continue the ministry. The Spirit has been poured out upon us. And it's our time now to preach. It is our time to see the visions. It is our time to dream dreams. It is our time to see the wonders of God. It is our time to can bring people to Jesus. It is our time to help people become saved. It's time for us to realize that our differences, our opinions, really, in the grand scheme of things, it's not what's important here. This is far bigger than us. It's far bigger than our thoughts and opinions and perceptions and whatever. It is far bigger. And the church is ordinary people. But the remarkable thing here is that they were unremarkable. They were ordinary people on that day, just like you and I. Ordinary people, but they did extraordinary things. They were normal folk who were able to be and to do the abnormal. They were people just like you and me. Can you imagine what we could do as people, as the church? Can you imagine what we could do if we just let go and let God? Right? If we could just put away our wants and our needs and our desires and we just say, okay, God, I'm with you. Can you imagine how things could change? Which leads us to the next one, which is the church is united. They were united. Like I said, they would come together on a regular basis, like every day. They would come together and they would pray and sing and study and just worship God together. They all understood the language of the Holy Spirit when it spoke. They were united in the message. What Peter has to say in our text and the verses following, it makes it very clear. What was the message? The message was Jesus. Jesus is alive, then he was dead, and then he rose again. And everyone who calls on Jesus' name will be saved. Eternally alive. That was the core of the message. That is us. We had this opportunity to be the church. They were united in their mission. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Familiar verse for many of us. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and what? Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. The Great Commission, right? That's the church. You and I. Sometimes we have to get back to that, and we need to realize that's it. That's the whole thing right there. That's why we're here. That's why we gather, the ecclesia. Now, I want to get back to the church for a moment here. I want to talk about something that I think is important for us to remember. The church during the Dark Ages was known for its stained glass windows. And during the Dark Ages, the forebearers had a Bible. They did. But the Bible wasn't a book. The Bible was the cathedral itself. The Bible they read was paintings and murals and sculptures and icons, stained glass windows, the Eucharist, painted domes. All of these told the stories of their faith. The churches or cathedrals of that era were the centers of the community. And I can remember back in the late 60s and the 70s that was even kind of same true. The church was the gathering place. In those days, the church was the gathering place, the courthouse. It was a place where travelers could find rest and find a good meal. It wasn't just a church. The cathedral itself was the soul of the village. Its charge was to care for the people, the individual souls. These were harsh times. These were difficult times. Simple survival was a full-time occupation. And religious faith was not a mere convenience or habit. It was the main support system in the lives of those who were struggling, those who were frightened, those who were powerless, men, women, and children. The cathedral offered a source of comfort, beauty, and security for all who entered the doors. What has it become? What's missing? What do we need to do to make it better? The day of Pentecost was one of the most unique and creatively celebrated days of the church calendar. And as I looked into this, in 10th century Rome, in order to make the coming of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost Sunday more dramatic and dynamic for the congregation members, they went to some great extremes. It involved architecture, not just anthems. The choirs would be singing whooshing and drumming sounds like a windstorm in the church and the cathedral. But the interesting thing that I found out was that in the churches, during this time, they would have boxes that would be up in the rafters, and they had doves. And so at certain points of the service, the priest would cry out, "Release the doves," and the doves would be released from their boxes, and they would fly around the worship service. And not only that, but they would send down these little red rose petals. Now, the doves, what did they represent, right? They represented the Holy Spirit coming upon, flying around the people. Now, we don't have doves to release, nor do we have rose petals to be brought down and float down upon us. So we're going to have to use our imagination this morning. What should we be as the church now? Well, we can begin by releasing the dove of sound. The sound of the church. If you listen quietly, you can still hear the sound of the early church. The sounds we heard were sounds of people praying together, laughing, crying, singing. The sounds of people receiving the Holy Spirit. Another sound that was heard during that time was a mighty blowing of, was like the sound of a mighty blowing wind from heaven filling the whole house and everyone that was sitting there. But I think there are some sounds that we just don't hear anymore in the church. The sound of weeping souls coming to Jesus. The wonderful sounds of congregations singing at the top of their lungs, even out of tune. Babies crying, screaming, laughing. We don't hear very often sounds of hope. It seems to me that there is more negativity in the churches today. It seems like there is nothing but people complaining, arguing. We have a wonderful church, a wonderful gathering of people, all of you, a great congregation, great opportunities. So what is the sound that's coming from our church, from our building, from our lives? We need to release the dove of unity. It's interesting that Pentecost, at that Pentecost Sunday, they were hearing despite different languages. There was different cultures, different beliefs, different doctrines, different opinions, different thinking, and yet they were all together hearing the same thing. And Acts 2, 7 and 8, it says, utterly amazed, they asked, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? We need to be understanding. We need to be considerate, accepting, compliant, because we all have diverse ideas and diverse voices, and we all have diverse gifts and talents and even opinions. But we need to be united, because it's not about us. It never has been. It never will be. And then we need to release the dove of breath. God breathed into Adam, and what happened? He became alive. God breathed on you, on me. God breathed, and it says in Exodus 5:8, God breathed on the waters and they became a pile. God breathed on the waters and covered the adversity of Pharaoh's army. God breathed on you and I, and we became alive, not for ourselves, but to live for God and to live for others. God breathed and we became a living soul. God breathed his breath on us, and he put our name in the book of life. And God breathes on us today. The church is the gathered, the flame and the wind of God. The heavenly language, we are the witness. So as the church, what are we going to be? God has given us this incredible opportunity to be able to step back. And what are we going to do with it? The church is alive. The church is well. So, how about we release the dove of the Holy Spirit on this community and to these families that are represented here and represented on those that are watching today? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray right now for your hand to continue to guide us as we think about this day, as we think about the fact that whatever is in our heads right now, whatever we're trying to figure out, we just have to lay it at your feet, Lord. And to recognize that our mission, our goals, everything that we think is important in our life is nothing compared to living our lives for you. And if there was ever a time when the church needs to be relevant, if there was ever a time when the church needs to be unified, if there's ever a time when we have to put away our differences and work together out of love and compassion, it is now. So I pray for that for each one of us today. As I pray for those that are worshiping today and other congregations, and for people that are outside the church right now that are trying to figure things out, but they're doing it on their own. Help us to be the church for this community. Help us, in whatever way you allow us to give people hope and to bring people to you. I pray this in your name, in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. As